welcome to Starlight Mystery Theater and another episode in the series Matthew Slade, Private Investigator. Take your seat as Matthew Slade, Private Investigator, unfolds part two of a three-part story, Day of the Phoenix.
In my job, the hours are odd. So are the circumstances and the people I meet. You could even call some of them dangerous. My calling card reads, Matthew Slade, Private Investigator.
In last week's story, Matthew Slade found himself suspected of killing his friend and client, Richard Marlowe, and Marlowe's chauffeur, Howard Morris. Murders which also involved the disappearance of a valuable jade statuette in the form of the mythical phoenix bird. With three separate people contacting Slade to recover the phoenix, Marlowe's young and attractive widow, Laura, a curious man from Damascus, Aram Ballestero, and a questionable art dealer, Edward De Silva, Slade set out to find the murderer and the reasons behind the interest in the missing phoenix. While searching De Silva's home, Slade is blackjacked. He regains consciousness to find a huge man standing over him. A man from Hong Kong. He knows as Lyle Milford Jackman.
Mr. Slade, good of you to come, sir.
I pulled myself up to a sitting position. Dallas Hawk stood behind Jackman. Next to him, a large, sinister-looking Oriental.
Dallas brought your message. I regret not being able to time this visit to coincide with your office hours, but you're a difficult man to reach.
Indeed you are.
Where am I?
Aboard the Kondo Maru, sir, a Japanese freighter.
Well, this is the first time I've been shanghaied for an appointment.
Well put. Now, sir, first let me say it's unfortunate the circumstances of this meeting cannot be as pleasant as our first, when I extended hospitality to you and Richard Marlowe in Hong Kong.
Yes.
I was disturbed to read this morning of Mr. Marlowe's untimely death, particularly since I have been caused the inconvenience of a 6,000-mile sea journey to recover what is rightfully mine.
And?
You fraudulently tricked me into selling you the Jade Phoenix for a pittance, when you knew it to be worth a fortune.
I knew nothing of the kind. I estimated its value at $200. That's what was offered. That's what you accepted. A fair transaction.
Come, come, sir. You can hardly expect me to believe that.
To prove it otherwise, the Phoenix to me is still a replica and worth exactly what we paid, no more.
That is a matter of opinion, sir. Replica or not, the Phoenix belongs to me. I want it back.
You might try telling that to whoever stole it.
Stolen? That fact wasn't reported in the papers.
They don't know about it. And for the moment, neither do the police.
Would it come as a surprise to you, sir, if I told you the Phoenix is worth in excess of $500,000? That is a lot of money, sir. Wouldn't you agree?
I certainly would.
Hank Pinto, Shimoda. Ah, the steward with our wine. A little libation, Mr. Slade. I'm sure you could do with it. Untie Mr. Slade, Dallas. That will be all, steward. A definitely delicious blend of fine French wine, sir. I trust you'll find it appealing. Here's to our meeting. Shall we go on?
By all means.
If the Phoenix has been stolen, somebody in the city has it. I want it. Now, let's be frank. Do you have any idea who that might be?
An idea, yes.
Excellent. Now, sir, a proposition for you. Deliver the Phoenix, and one-third of its realized worth will be yours. Now, that would amount to a tidy sum.
Well, what makes you think if I found it, I'd turn it over to you?
I am a determined man, Mr. Slade. Have ways and means of getting what I want.
You mean using your muscle men over there?
If necessary. But you appear to be a man of sound reasoning. I'm sure we can come to a satisfactory understanding.
You leave little choice.
A man of good sense.
Now, assuming I locate the Phoenix for you, what guarantee would I have against you slipping off to Hong Kong, leaving me out in the cold, so to speak, or perhaps even dead?
You would have my word, sir, as a gentleman.
Oh, that's fine for a fraternal club, but I mean something that would act as a bond, a guarantee of your good faith.
Would $500 guarantee you that?
No, but $5,000 might. After all, we are talking about a half million.
A man of definite ideas. I like that. 5,000 it is, sir. I like to be fair always. Shall we toast to a profitable transaction?
Incidentally, your friend from Damascus is here.
Ballestero?
He arrived yesterday. He said you sent him to London on a wild goose chase.
I did. By Jove, I did. He is a man worth watching. Could cause us trouble. The authorities, if you know what I mean. Where might he be contacted?
And so you can send Dallas around to take care of him?
No, sir. Just to follow him.
Well, he's not very good at that. Leave Ballestero to me.
Very well, sir. He is your charge. For the moment, then, that concludes our discussion. I'll have Dallas drive you home.
Oh, and about the 5,000. You have it at my office tomorrow morning. And let's have it understood. I'm not guaranteeing anything. Whatever has to be done will be done my way.
A check will be at your office in the morning.
No checks. Cash.
In crisp new bills. Shall we drink to it?
I'll send you a receipt. Your guarantee.
As you like. Allow me to see you off the ship. I trust I'll be hearing from you shortly.
I left Jackman in a swirl of cigar smoke. He was an insidious man, one not easily tricked. I knew I'd have to walk a tightrope in my dealings with him. I returned to my apartment, was just finishing a shower, when the phone rang.
Hello?
Finally, I've been trying to reach you all afternoon. Where have you been?
Oh, it's another long story, Jonesy. How's Mrs. Marlowe?
She's at the Fremont Terrace, apartment 401. She's waiting to hear from you.
Good work. You're a sweetheart, sweetheart. Good night.
I dressed, then left for the Fremont Terrace apartment. As I pulled up in front, I saw Mrs. Marlowe leaving in a cab. I followed right to Eddie DeSilva's home. Her phone call there earlier now took on a meaning. I watched her from my car as she approached the front door. DeSilva opened it. She went inside. I made my way to the door. I could hear their muffled voices, successive slaps, and then... I tried the door. It was locked. I braced myself and put my shoulder to it. It gave way. They were standing in the center of the room. DeSilva had hold of her arm. A thin line of blood ran down his cheek. He raised his hand and slammed it against her face. I moved in on him. He showed no resistance.
My, such a lot of brawn and so few brains. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Eddie.
This is a private affair, friend. I don't remember inviting you.
Well, you'll have to forgive the entrance. An invitation seemed unnecessary. Now, what's all this about? It's like that, is it? No one's talking.
Please don't interfere, Mr. Slade. It doesn't concern you.
Well, unfortunately, I'd say I'm right in the middle of it.
If you aren't, because you put yourself there, and I told you this afternoon, stay out of it, friend.
I know that's what you told me, Eddie, but I wasn't too impressed with your advice. I'm not so sure I understand all this, Mrs. Marlowe. As I remember it, you came to me with a plea for help, and there was that story of being penniless and then those incriminations against your friend. Of course, I didn't altogether believe you, but parts of it did sound interesting, particularly about the Phoenix. Now, I bet you completely forgot about that.
You don't understand it. It's not easy to explain at this time.
Oh, you're right. Discussing it in front of Eddie is bad form. He might feel inclined to challenge some of the things you'd say.
Let's not discuss it any further.
Oh, let's do. Let's sort out the nonsense and get rid of those embarrassing half-truths.
That's as I told you this morning.
Eddie doesn't go along with that story. And besides, he's got a good one of his own.
I told it to you straight, friend.
Playing games, are we? Well, if that's the way you want it, it's fine by me. You're going to have to do your talking sooner or later. And you won't find it easy putting off of the police. They've given me until tomorrow to come up with a convincing story. What I have so far should interest them.
There's no sense in getting riled, friend. There's really nothing to all this. It's an unfinished business transaction. With the events of last night, we felt it best to finalize it discreetly.
That's all there is to it.
Oh, you two are good. And you're about as discreet as my entrance through that door. One or both of you are lying. Go ahead and lie. I won't stop you. But see how far it gets you.
Mr. Slade? Matt? Please, wait.
For what?
Will you take me home?
Get in. Well?
Your entrance was marvelous. You were like a dashing knight saving his fair maiden.
Why, Mrs. Marlowe.
Did you mind my kissing you? You are a friend of the family.
I guess I am doing all right as that. That is the way you planned it, isn't it?
Oh, you're mistrustful of me.
Now, whatever gave you that idea?
You're also making fun of me.
Well, now we're in a fun mood. Why don't you just start in at the beginning?
No questions. Not now. Later, at my apartment.
She was playing it cute, and I decided to play along with her. Here's your key, Mrs. Marlowe.
Keep it. As my dashing knight, you may have to rescue me again. I wouldn't want you to break down this door. You won't mind if I change before we chat?
No, not at all.
If you're handy in the kitchen, you might heat some coffee. It's on the stove. I'll just be a minute. Can you find everything?
All but the sugar.
Oh, it's in the cupboard above the sink.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
You need help?
Not at the moment.
Turn on some music.
Anything in particular?
No, whatever you'd like.
I noticed some paperback novels lying on the cabinet. The top one caught my eye. The cover displayed an attractive girl clothed in a sheer hostess gown. Her blonde hair fell to her shoulders. The title read, Blackmail.
Something interesting?
Laura stood in the doorway. The girl on the cover had come alive. Remarkable resemblance.
Oh, that's a bed partner.
You don't have much imagination, do you?
Score one for Mr. Slade. Well, you're not going to stand there all night, are you? Come, sit here.
The apartment comfortable?
Very. Do you take this good care of all your clients?
Special clients.
I'm flattered. Now, I find you very attractive. Falling for you is easy. You're something quite new. Different. And you kiss beautifully.
You're flattering me.
Would you believe me if I told you I'm falling in love with you?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, the truth is I am. I don't know how to pay you a greater compliment.
Well, you might stop insulting my intelligence. You aren't in love with me, and you know it.
I could try to convince you.
From the bedroom?
Possibly.
That's a switch. Well, it won't work, Mrs. Marlowe. Making love is fine. I'd like to spend more time at it, but my intuition tells me that going in there with you...
You aren't the most exasperating man I've ever known. You're sarcastic and unfeeling and...
And old enough to know when I'm being played a line. Now, that's all settled now. What were you doing at Eddie DeSilva's?
Oh, Matt, I want you to trust me.
Well, as yet, you've given me little reason to trust you.
I've asked you to help me.
I'm not sure I really know what it is you want.
The Phoenix.
Now, that's what you told me. But how much of that story this morning is the truth?
I haven't told you everything. I'm afraid.
Of what?
Of what might happen to you.
Someone might try to kill me?
Yes.
Now, you're a gem of a liar. All right, let's take it again. What were you doing at DeSilva's? Matching stories?
No. Oh, that's not important. What is important is that you helped me. You said you'd help me. Don't you see, you're the type of person I need. I've got to have.
I wouldn't know about that.
Oh, you're being unfair, totally unfair.
And you're being dishonest. Now, why don't you try telling me the truth?
Please, Matt. With you, it's different. I've never felt this way about anyone before. I know you're wondering about Eddie, but at the time, I had no choice. I needed his sort to help me.
The sordid life of Laura Marlowe on display. No sale.
That's the way it is?
That's the way it is. Yeah, go ahead. Take a deep breath and shake a little. Now, let's see how helpless you can look.
You think I deserve it, don't you? Well, you're wrong about me, Matt. If I could only get you to understand.
And stop it. Stop this drivel.
Don't be harsh with me, Matt.
I'll try to remember that tomorrow when I'm talking to the police.
You won't tell them about the Phoenix?
There's no other way. I'm not going to let you involve me in this any further.
Involve you? I don't understand.
You understand perfectly. You need me to run interference between you and De Silva. Somewhere along the line, I pick up the Phoenix and deliver it to you. Oh, I may get killed in the process, but stupid Lancelot Slade will do it all because you say you love him. You're hiding something. If you want me to help you, I've got to know the full story. I'm fed up with being blackjacked, grilled, and threatened with jail, and of you trying to make a fool of me.
Be patient with me, Matt.
I've reached the limit of my patience. Well, this whole thing is ridiculous. And when you're ready to tell me the truth, you call me.
I couldn't help but smile as I walked down the hall to the elevator. I thought my performance was pretty corny, but at least it was better than hers. She'd have to use different tactics from here on out. I wasn't about to fall for that phony lovemaking routine. It was late when I drove into the Warwick Arms garage, parked my car, and rode the elevator up to my floor. I could feel the anesthesia of sleep creeping through my bones as I reached my apartment door. It was ajar. I flattened against the wall. I edged the door open with my foot, and there sat Lyle Jackman, reading a copy of The Brothers Karamazov.
You people have the strangest visiting hours.
Again, my apology, Mr. Slade. Forgive the invasion of your privacy. The visit now is purely social.
Yeah, the place is a mess. His work, no doubt.
The search was a necessity. A matter of precaution, you understand. I had to be sure you weren't already in possession of the Phoenix. It seems you are not. Or at least if you are, it is not in this apartment.
Yeah, well, tell Hawks to stop waving that silly revolver in my face or I have to take it away from him.
No need for that, Dallas. Put it away.
If you don't mind, how did you gentlemen get in here?
I thought you might be wondering about that. Well, sir, in all fairness, I must give credit to Dallas. He has a knack for opening locked doors.
I'll bet. I can't imagine you slipping in through the keyhole.
Very neatly put. Now, sir, let's be candid. The house you were searching on Ronda Vista Lane belongs to Edward De Silva, a dealer in antiques. Would it be foolish of me to think of Mr. De Silva as being our man?
He could be.
I wonder if I would also be correct in thinking, assuming Mr. De Silva is in possession of the Phoenix, that you and he, how shall I put it, are in cahoots.
Yeah, your assumption is incorrect.
For your sake, I trust so.
Let's get one thing settled right now. I don't intend to let you threaten me. It's bad enough I should let you get away with breaking in here. Now, if you think...
Now, sir, no need to take that
stand. Well, that's the stand it's going to be. I didn't select you people to do business with. You picked me.
Be that as it may...
Look, the police have been badgering me with questions I can't answer. Now, just how long I remain out of their reach till some sense comes out of all this depends on people like you staying out of my way.
The police are not my concern, sir.
Well, they are mine, particularly since I'm the one facing them.
My agreement with you, sir, concerns itself only with locating the Phoenix. I trust we can avoid disagreement over the point. In times of strife, men sometimes lose their better judgment. If it be any consolation to you, let me remind you, in the morning you will have in your possession $5,000. Later, a vastly greater sum. I'm sure that's worth a reasonable amount of trouble.
I don't mind a reasonable amount of trouble, but I told you I'd handle it my way, and that's the way it's going to be.
You're an uncommonly difficult person to get the best of. But have it as you wish. We leave matters as they stand.
Now, let's do that.
Well, one further thing, Mr. Slade. I'm sure you realize the necessity of our keeping close ties from now until the conclusion of our association. I can't afford any indiscriminate moves, you understand.
But if you're thinking of having Dallas follow me again, I wouldn't suggest it.
I wouldn't like Dallas harmed. I'm extremely fond of him. It'd be hard to find another boy like him.
You could pick one up in any cheap pool room.
I am sure you'll agree, Mr. Slade, provoking Dallas is not a wise course to follow. He's sometimes quick to take offense. Now I think we must be going.
How do I get in touch with you? Are you still on that boat?
Yes, yes, sir. The Condo Maru, Pier 9.
The next morning, I decided to do a little checking on the man from Damascus. I paid a visit to an old friend, Stephen Gates, curator of Far Eastern art for the city's museum.
Matthew, good to see you again. Come in, come in.
Nice to see you again, Steve.
I heard you were out of the country. Where were you this time?
The Orient, mostly. I was on an assignment for Richard Marlowe.
Ah, yes. Unfortunate about his death. Odd business, that.
Yes. I need your professional opinion on something, Stephen.
By all means.
Are you familiar with a jade statuette carved from the likeness of the Tibetan phoenix?
Yes, somewhat. I was reading about it not too long ago. The figure is a strangely conceived image of how the king of birds should look. It's described as having the neck of a serpent, the bill of a wild fowl, and the grace of a swan. Its forehead is crowned with a crest that resembles a mandarin drake. Fascinating, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Is there a possibility an original actually exists?
Oh, my personal opinion is no. But this reference to it here in this volume... I remember it was towards the middle here. Let me see. Yes. Here it is. You know, it's said to be legendary. However, as you're aware, there have been several cases of so-called mythical objects turning out to be realities. In this case, the phoenix has never been proved one way or another. Well, I see. It says here a Damascus art dealer thought it to be the real thing. The book states he discovered it in a junk store in Corsica, and he kept it for his private collection. It was stolen following his death. It seems more than one person believed it to be anything other than legendary.
Suppose it turned out to be the original. Could you place a value on it?
Oh, it's hard to say. 100,000? 250,000? It could be priceless. How does one put a value on such an item?
Have you ever heard of Aram Ballestero, curator for the Damascus Museum?
Ballestero? It has a familiar ring. I'm sure he's listed in the Mastai's dictionary. Let me look. Here. Oh, yes. L. Ballestero. Oh, yes. Ballestero, Aram, curator, Damascus Museum.
I met him yesterday, but I wasn't too sure.
Yesterday? You could hardly have met him yesterday. The directory lists him as deceased.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.